Today we're talking about the heart. Well, spiritually, what are heart idols and how can you know if you have any?
Stay tuned and find out on today's episode of Wake Up with Hope. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us here today.
Good morning, friends. If you're a tea drinker, today is your day. It's National Tea Day. You know, I enjoy tea, and did you know that herbal teas, aside from being delicious, they also have some beneficial health properties? You know, I have especially enjoyed a certain tea that I drank for the first time in South Africa. It's called rooibos tea. What's your favorite tea? Do you have a favorite tea, honey?
Oh, I love tea. You know I love tea. My mom loves tea.
That's true.
You know, I would say that I like ginger. I like ginger in my tea.
Okay, very good. Do you know if that tea has any special health properties?
Oh, I want to find out.
I have heard that ginger is very good for you. Well, what about you, folks? Does your tea have any special health properties? If you know of that, send us a message on Facebook and talk to us about it.
You know, honey, and I couldn't think of a better way than to spend time with someone, quality time, and join a hot drink together.
That sounds like a good idea.
How do we do that?
Especially
this evening?
On National Tea Day.
Yes. So let's do it.
I love it.
You know, friends, grab your loved ones and, yeah, have a tea party. That's a great idea. And you can enjoy one another's company.
And speaking of being together, there's a special togetherness that Jesus wants to have with each one of us. He longs to spend time with us, that we would talk to him as we talk to a friend. So while you're enjoying tea time, don't forget to spend some quality time with Jesus, too.
And on today's program, we'll be talking about a sure place of refuge and idols of the heart. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On January 12, 1904, Henry Ford set a land speed record of 91.37 miles per hour on the frozen surface of Michigan's Lake St. Clair. He was driving a four-wheel vehicle dubbed the 999 with a wooden chassis but no body or hood. Ford's record was broken within a month at Ormond Beach, Florida, by a driver named William K. Vanderbilt. Even so, the publicity surrounding Ford's achievement was valuable to the auto pioneer, who in June of the previous year had incorporated the Ford Motor Company, which would eventually go on to become one of America's big three automakers. What many may not know is that Ford didn't want to drive the machine he had built. It had no bodywork, no suspension, no differential, and a tiller instead of a steering wheel. You can imagine why he was afraid to drive it, but alas, he did, on a frozen lake with no goggles or other face protection.
You know, sometimes in life, God may call us to do something that we may feel a little uncomfortable with or unsure of. But when we surrender to Him and trust the Creator, you know what He does? He blesses us beyond measure. So whatever it is that God is asking you to do today, do it. He will see you through it every step of the way, and you will blossom because of it.
You know, in a world full of injustice, sorrow, and pain, God is the place of refuge and peace for His people, a salvation asylum for the guilty and the oppressed. Pu'uhonua O Honaunau is one of those places, erected on the black lava flats of the Kona coast of Big Island in Hawaii. Pu'uhonua served as a sanctuary of refuge in ancient Hawaiian times, but the life lessons it teaches are for all people in every time.
The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. In a world full of injustice, sorrow, and pain, God is a place of refuge and peace for His people, a salvation asylum for the guilty and the oppressed. Pu'uhonua is one of them. erected on the black lava flats, the Kona coast of the Big Island, Pu'uhonua served as a sanctuary of refuge in ancient times. Surrounded by the blue waters of the Pacific Ocean on the northwest and a solid lava wall on the southeast, this Hawaiian haven served as a natural fortification. It was an ideal place for the ali'i, the Hawaiian royalty, to establish their residential and ceremonial sites. Considered as royal sacred ground, it is here that many of the ancient chiefs of Hawaii were buried, the last of which was one of the sons of Kamehameha I in the year 1818. It is here at the Keawe Heiau that the ancient priests of Hawaii offered their sacrifices for centuries, until the final overthrow of the Kapu system by Kamehameha II in 1819. Littered with tall swaying coconut trees, clear and cool ocean waters, fishing ponds, friendly turtles, black lava rocks, and a white sandy shore, this place of refuge is just as beautiful as it is safe. Now, there are many of these places of refuge scattered all throughout the islands, but this is the last authentic one that has been preserved, containing some ancient ruins that date back to the 1400s. This island shelter was a place of protection for wounded warriors, as well as displaced civilians during times of war and battle. No physical harm could be done to those who reached the boundaries of this place of refuge. All within the walls were guaranteed the protection of the king. Modeled after the cities of refuge in biblical times, it also offered protection from the avenger of blood. If someone was guilty of breaking kapu or sacred law, they would surely be put to death. However, if the offender was able to make it within the walls of Pu'uhonua, they were protected from the avenger. And though many were guilty and deserved to die, here at Pu'uhonua, they found a sanctuary of forgiveness and a second chance at life. This sacred ancient Hawaiian site was literally a sanctuary of forgiveness. And in ancient biblical times, it was at the time of the death of the high priest that the forgiven offender was able to leave and go home, free in the power of forgiveness. This ancient Hawaiian history that mirrors so closely the ancient institutions of the Holy Bible, it tells me that the true God of heavens was communicating with our Hawaiian ancestors. He was revealing to them his holy ways of justice and mercy, grace and peace. For this place of refuge is a reflection of the wonderful plan of salvation. You see, each and every one of us are guilty of breaking the sacred commands of God. We have violated the perfect precepts of Jehovah. We have trampled upon the holy law of love. And because of the foolishness of our sinful choices, death is the only just reward we deserve. Satan is free to take us with him to destruction. But God has not left us to ourselves. He has provided a place of refuge, a heavenly Pu'uhonua. And if we flee to the shelter of his grace, we will then find the peace of pardon for all our offenses. And because of the death of our heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ, we can go back to our heavenly home, free in forgiveness and liberated in love. For there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He took our punishment that we might have his peace. This was the reality that God was trying to teach our ancient Hawaiian ancestors. And it is the same reality he desires for us to experience today. Is your life consumed with spiritual confusion? Are you burdened with the guilt of sin? Maybe you're running from your troubles, but you feel like you have no place to hide and no place to rest. Well, if so, I urge you to run to the heavenly Pu'uhonua. Do not delay. You must go at once. For the adversary, the devil, is coming after you like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you in deception, distraction, and despair. Go at once to the perfect place of refuge, where the enemy has no power. Do not allow anything or anyone to hold you back. For it is there that Jesus invites you to surrender your sins to him, that you might receive mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and life evermore. And there you will dwell in the place of safety, security, satisfaction, and salvation in the true paradise of God.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And remember, we have a YouTube channel. Find us on YouTube and subscribe to keep up with us there.
You know, friends, we are delighted to spend this morning with you. Coming up next, we'll have music from Jacqueline Jewell. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, where we are eager to share the hope and love Jesus gives.
Did you know there is just one thing Jesus wants from each one of us? One thing. Jacqueline Jewell reminds us as she sings, "Give Him Your Heart."
Amen. Yes, friends, give him your heart. And speaking of the heart, let's talk about who sits on the throne of our hearts. Is it time to dethrone heart idolatries and enthrone Jesus Christ? Be inspired as Adrian Webster speaks on this topic.
Water is an incredible substance. You think about it, it's a substance that's fluid, gentle, it's something we drink, something we bathe ourselves in, it's something that flows over, under, around, it goes anywhere. But there's something else about water that really intrigues me. Despite its softness, as it were, it's incredibly powerful. I mean, water changes the very face of the earth. It cuts rivers out of rock. It digs massive canyons into the ground. And all of this happens simply through its natural flow over the earth. Jeremiah in the Old Testament of the Bible tells the story of a group of people known as Israel. Israel began to become idolatrous in their worship experience. They began to build shrines and places to worship their false gods. But in the midst of all of this, Jeremiah goes on to explain that something happened on the inside of them long before they began to build the shrines on the outside. He says they set up idols in their hearts. So what happened on the inside of them showed itself logically in the way they lived before others and worshipped in the outside. They set up an idol in their hearts, and then they began to set up idols for worship purposes on the outside. And I'd be willing to bet you that for us living today in the 21st century, it's probably exactly the same thing. Our outward lives, the way we live before others, the way we treat others, the way we engage with others, how we worship or don't worship, is all a reflection of something that's happening on the inside long before it shows itself on the outside. So if we're looking to change the way we live on the outside, we have to begin at the root cause, which is in the heart experience. In the same way that water has that incredible power to shape the face of the earth, to cut through rock, what you give your allegiance to, what rules and governs your heart, will determine and shape the choices that you make. It will influence what your lifestyle looks like and how you relate to people. In Scripture, Jesus says that He wants to be the water of life. That means He wants to fill us from the inside. And as He does that, everything inside of us is washed and cleansed and becomes new. As Jesus is the water of life, He takes His rightful place on our heart. Our loyalty is given to Him. And a strange, miraculous, awesome change begins to happen in our lives, beginning on the inside and showing itself as it works out in our daily choices. It's no wonder that in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the idea is that when we're connected with Jesus Christ, we become entirely new creations. The old things pass away and all things become new. So my question to you today is, are you ready for something that's radically new, something that's totally awesome? Or are you still contented with being stuck, still contented with the old? The offer that Christ makes to you is that if you will give Him your heart's allegiance, your loyalty, invite Him to come in with His water and fill you up from the inside, you'll become totally new on the outside as well as on the inside. So what will your choice be today? Will you hand over your heart's loyalty, your affections, and your love to Him? Will you invite Him in and say, I want you to be my friend forever? If you do, get ready for something radically new, radically awesome.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Faith for Today brings us a powerful devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
I don't mind doing things that many people do not do. In fact, I dream of doing some things that no one has ever done. But what makes me extremely uncomfortable is doing something that people think is weird, strange, or awkward. As a child, I dreaded the times that my mom would announce, Roy, you and your sister are going to do special music for church next week. I didn't dread this announcement because I don't like playing music. I've played music professionally for many years around the world. Playing music and getting up in front were not the issue. It was the instrument that my mom chose. It was a hideously awkward instrument. Melodic in the hands of a master, but eardrum scraping in the hands of a child. And although I grew up in the era of Lawrence Welk, I did not want to play the accordion. I can recall being so nervous that my hands would shake while I struggled with this second or third owner, full-size, bellowing monster. I was a small boy with a slight build, so all you could really see was an accordion with tiny hands, a couple of shoes at the bottom, and my little head straining to peek over the top, trying not to pinch my neck in the bellows. To me, it was so heavy that when the bellows would fully extend, I would have to lean way over and way back to the right to bring them back in. It's a good thing that the accordion had big bellows that took a long time to empty and fill, or people would have probably thought that I was up there dancing on the platform. It was awkward, it was strange, and yes, Mom, it was weird. None of my classmates ever ran up to me and said, oh man, I'm so jealous. I wish my mom would let me play the accordion. It was different. Not the good kind of different. It was different. The kind of different that you say when someone asks you for a critique and you don't really want to say you didn't like it to their face. Well, it was different. I am not uncomfortable doing new things. I'm uncomfortable doing things that others view as weird, strange, or awkward. Now, near the end of Jesus' ministry on this earth, he told his disciples that he was about to change their comfortable routine, and he needed them to connect with God in a new way that might seem strange, weird, or awkward. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 16, 17, and 26, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." With this announcement, Jesus let his followers know that they were coming into a very different age. So now we are all living in the age of the Spirit. During this time, between the cross and the second coming, Jesus said that we would live in the age of the Spirit. Paul called it our new life in the Spirit. Now, most people in church don't really know the Holy Spirit, so they're not living in the Spirit days. They're simply living in the last days. Their greatest hope is not that the Holy Spirit will do something transformational through them today, but that Jesus may come tomorrow. But when the Spirit comes, so do earth-shattering experiences for his followers. Acts chapter 2 tells us that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. God's Holy Spirit moved among his disciples here, and visitors to Jerusalem hear this good news in their own native tongues and are convinced that Jesus truly was the Messiah that they had been waiting for. That's the happy part of this story. But there was another group of people who did not feel the same way. The story continues and lets us know that some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." It's tough being made fun of. That's why most people are uncomfortable doing new things. It's uncomfortable doing things that others view as weird, strange, or awkward, isn't it? But here's our challenge today. God would rather you be uncomfortable than uncommitted. Transitions are always uncomfortable. New beginnings are uncomfortable. But God wants to have a new beginning with you. The space between the cross and the second coming is not a waiting room. It's a changing room. And the Spirit was not sent to us in this space to merely create peace, but to create problems. That's right, problems for the world. The Holy Spirit drove the church into the world. Its presence did not hide quietly in the upper room. It roared so loud that people on the outside came to see what was going on the inside. One of the things I've noticed that really makes us uncomfortable today is that the Holy Spirit will consistently ask us to lead others to a place we've never been. Many of us look back at our younger years and say, "If I could only go back and live my life knowing what I know now." The fact is, you can live now knowing what you could only know in the future, because God said, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." It's already done. God's almighty earth-shaking work is happening right now through you. You may look at your life and say, "But I'm just getting started." But God says, "Consider it done. I'll make sure it gets finished. You are significant to these last days." As long as you're on your own, the enemy can fight you. But once you're filled with the power of God himself, the devil cannot stop you. He can cut you, he can beat you, he can embarrass you, he can kill you, but he can't stop you. If God is in you, you cannot be stopped, because greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. And even if the enemy takes away this miserable life, God has eternal life waiting for you. The enemy can hurt your feelings, but he can't hurt your destination. The Holy Spirit makes us uncomfortable because he prods us to love the unlovable, pay for the penniless, dispossess our possessions, to be a witness to the skeptic, to welcome the stranger, to embrace the unknown, to have visions of the unseen, to touch the untouchables. So let's all go out and get uncomfortable today and see what God's Holy Spirit can do with us and through us at this time.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We'll be talking with Ronnie Mills, having a devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley, and another hope-filled episode of Revelation of Hope. Join us.
And if you're enjoying today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study.
We've so enjoyed spending time with you this morning.
And of course, you know we can't leave without our daily Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from Genesis chapter 28, verse 15.
God says, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you."
Amen. And friends, God will not leave you. He will fulfill his promises on your life. What a promise. What a promise. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we are standing on your promises. It's standing on solid rock. There are promises that we can count on, promises that we don't have to doubt. We can be assured that the God who has promised is also able to perform. And so today, Lord, this gives us hope. And we thank you. We're going to hold on to the promises throughout this whole day. In Jesus' name, amen.